It's time now for the Hockey North Show with Randy Russin. The Hockey North Show is a weekly look at the game as it pertains to the Twin Sioux of Sault Ste. Marie and Northern Ontario, with a focus on the Sioux Greyhounds of the Ontario Hockey League, the Sioux Junior Greyhounds of the Great North Under 18 Hockey League, the Sioux Eagles and the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, and the Sioux College Cougars varsity men's and women's hockey teams. The Hockey North Show is brought to you by major sponsor Little Caesars, with two locations in Sioux, Ontario, Dr. Kevin Caruso, real estate agent John Glavoda, the Croatian Corner, Northern Superior Brewing, Saldan Developments, and the Sioux Eagles of the NOJHL. Let's head now to 45 Social on Spring Street in the Sioux's downtown for the Hockey North Show with Randy Russin.
And welcome to this edition of the Hockey North Show podcast. Yes, we are at 45 Social in the Sioux's downtown. It is the April 23rd edition as we wind into the playoffs in the Ontario Hockey League and in the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League. And with us tonight from the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, the head coach and general manager of the Blind River Beavers, Kyle Brick, coming off a very successful season with the Beavers, one of the best in franchise history, first place overall in the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League standings, edging out the Sudbury Cubs for that honor, and then a memorable, epic first-round series against the Espanola Paper Kings when the Beavers were trailing 3-1 and came all the way back to win the series. Then in the second series, to take nothing away from Sudbury in the second round of the playoffs, but the Beavers hit with some illnesses, and the way it went was that Sudbury took the measure of Blind River. But all in all, a great season for Blind River once again, and the guy that's in charge of the hockey program over there is Kyle Brick, and this team has done nothing but win since Mr. Brick has been there. Kyle, good to see you, man. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's been a while. Happy to be here, Randy.
And just to reiterate, a great season. Give us, in your words, some of the highlights from this campaign.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to look by the 17-game win streak. Like, that was really exciting. And, you know, we were able to return 7 or 8 20-year-olds that I think really carried the weight for us this season. And they knew what our standards were in Blind River and how we run our program. And they kind of just did it for us in the room, right? We didn't have to worry about it. They knew what we expected day in, day out. And they're a big reason for any success we had this year.
And, you know, you look at what happened, and we'll go back several years. Before you came to Blind River, the team was just a couple years removed from a winless season, 0 wins and 1 tie over the course of the whole season. And I think there was a 10-win campaign after that. You managed to turn it around, and you did it with a lot of good help over the years. And the program now is one of the best in the entire Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League. It's become a destination for players to play. So just give us a bit of an insight into when you're pitching players from Southern Ontario and all over the map to come to Blind River. Like, what do you see?
it's an interesting conversation. A lot of the kids that were pitching to come to Blind River are always surprised with the size of our town, right? Mm. And they're a little bit nervous about that. I can tell you, the first words out of my mouth when I'm pitching a defenseman is Dylan King. Assistant coach with me, 3-4 years with the Hounds, captain of that team, and then spent time in the East Coast, cup of tea in the A. You know, so that's a really good bargaining chip for me with my defense. As for our everyday player, we just try and sell the program. We run it like a major junior program. We're a 7-day-a-week program. We practice every day. Gym commitments, community service, all that sort of thing. And we tell them the same thing. If you're looking for that stereotypical junior hockey experience where you're out partying and doing that type of thing, Blind River's not the spot for you. But if you want to become a better hockey player, you want to develop, you want to become a better human being, then maybe this is the spot, because we're all hockey all the time. And we came up with this saying over the last couple of years, and it's that hockey is hard in Blind River. And you got to be committed, you got to be all in, and if you're not, maybe we're not the home for you.
There was a time several years back when Jim Cappy and then Todd Stensel were coaching the Blind River Beavers, and the attendance was really, really good. And then when you first came in after the couple of bad seasons there with previous people in charge, the attendance was good. And then the pandemic came, and people just got did different things, whatever. It's been hard to get fans into buildings all over the place, but this year I noticed, especially come playoff time, and that, again, I'm going to use the word epic for a person that has a lot of synonyms. I'm going to use it again, a series against Espanola, and you know what? That's going to be a chapter in my next book, because a seven-game series between two nearby towns, both small towns, both old Junior B towns from years and years ago. The Beavers, the heavily favored team in that series, down 3-1 to Jason Rapsovich and his Paper Kings. And you guys come back to win it in seven, and both barns were full.
Yeah, that was really exciting. I can tell you, I had a really tough week there. Down, you know, 3 elimination games, your mind starts to wander, and you start doing things you usually don't do. But we were happy to come out of that one. But I'll be honest, it took a toll. It took a mental, emotional, physical, all of the above. And the exciting thing about that was the crowds. Like, we must have had in game 6, we probably had over 150 Blind River fans in that arena.
Wow.
And it was, when we scored a goal, it almost felt like a home game. When we scored the winner, I thought the place was going to come down. And, you know, from friends and family of our coaching staff and billets, like, it was just an awesome experience. And then to sell out the crowd in game 7, and I'm not sure if I told you this story when we were talking on the phone, but I showed up to the rink for a 2 o'clock game at 10 a.m., and there was 250 people lined out outside our arena.
I love that.
at 10 a.m. in the morning for a 2 o'clock game. So, and that was a lot of fun for our kids to walk in by. And they were cheering every kid that walked in. And I just can't say enough about our crowd and our community.
This is the Hockey North Show podcast. Randy Russin, along with Kyle Brick, the head coach and general manager of the Blind River Beavers of the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League. And Kyle, not only are the Beavers successful on the ice with wins and versus losses and all the good things that go with that, but you move players on to other ranks too, like the National Collegiate Athletic Association, NCAA. Division I commitments have been few and far between coming out of the NOJHL in recent years, but one of your top recruits, a youngster, getting a future commitment from the Lake Superior State University Lakers, and that is really good to see.
Yeah, that was a really, real exciting process for our organization and for Daniel Vasek. Lake State, I can't say enough about how they just did that whole process, and you know, they invited me and Danny down there, and they rolled out the red carpet and just treated Danny like, you know, just a human, not so much a hockey player. And I'll never forget, because I was the one who took him there, when he got in the vehicle, he goes, that campus, it made me feel like I was back in Blind River. And I was like, hey, well, then there's your answer. And, you know, it's our first one with me at the helm. We're Division I. We've had some close guys. Owen Robinson, who ended up playing for the Wolves. But Danny Vasek is a special player. You can't teach the ability he has to score goals, and I think he's going to have a very bright future at LSSU.
What's the future hold for Kyle Brook? You're still really young, man. You've been around the Beavers a long time. You coached in the Sioux, you some high school hockey, and you were a down-the-line guy from Thessalon, one of those rough-and-tumble boys, along with the McDonald's and the Kings from one of my favorite little Highway 17 towns. You know what? Sometimes coaches move up. Sometimes they stay where they are. There's a lot of examples of coaches staying where they are. You look in the Ontario Hockey League, where Brian Kilroy was with the Ottawa 67s for about 1,000 years, and in the NOJHL, where Paul Gagne was a mainstay with the Abitibi Eskimos for a long time. What are your future plans, man, beginning with next season? Is Kyle Brick staying around?
I believe I'm going to be behind the bench in the NOJHL with the Blind River Beavers next season. But it is a long summer. Like, I'll be honest, like, players that want to develop and move on, I'm no different, right? And, you know, I've spent 8 seasons in Blind River, and I love the community, and I couldn't be happier to raise my daughter there. Mm-hmm. And that's going to make it very tough to leave if I ever make that decision. But as of today, and if that changes, you'll be the first to know, I'll be a Blind River Beaver.
Sounds good to me, man. And you know what? Let's really quickly wrap this up. Great talking with you as usual, man. I could talk hockey with you for 24 hours straight, probably, as long as we had enough beer around.
Yeah.
For both of us.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the finals now, the Sudbury Cubs against Powassan, and Sudbury's up 3-1, and Powassan knocked off the Timmins Rock in 7 games in the previous series, in which no team won a home game, and Powassan had things going for them with the overtime victories, whatever else. Now Sudbury's up 3-1. You had that series with the Sudbury Cubs, and I know you don't make excuses. You're not one of those guys, Kyle, but I do know for a fact that you had a lot of players that were not overly healthy for that series.
Yeah, I'm not gonna list injuries or anything like that. I know some programs in our league do that and make excuses, but we're not one of them. But we weren't completely up to snuff. You hit the nail on the head. But at the end of the day, Sudbury, they could roll out 5 guys with OHL experience, and I'll be honest, they were the difference. And, you know, being healthy in playoff time is part of running a good program, and, you know, it's part of hockey. And it just so happened that Sudbury was healthy, and they took it to us. It's plain and simple.
And you look at that Sudbury team, and yeah, they've got a lot of veteran players in the OHL. There are guys that have played in the OHL, been draft picks, and but one of the best of the lot is one of the youngest kids in the team, Hudson Chitteroni. I mean, he's got to be a future. He's drafted by the Sudbury Wolves last year in the 3rd round, and if things continue with his progression, that just could be a steal of an OHL draft pick by the Wolves.
You know what, Randy? I'll be completely honest. At the start of the year, before Christmas, I wasn't sold on Hudson Chitteroni. And then the way he brought it in that playoff series, he just went to a whole nother level. We didn't have an answer for him. We had the best defenseman in the league, in Andre Manoff, and we couldn't contain that guy. But I think the guy that's going to be the difference, difference against us and will continue to be the difference, is Larmont. 200-foot, plays the right way. I think the one game against us, game 3, he won 87% of his faceoffs.
Wow.
So we spent half our shifts chasing the puck because he was just so dominant. He's mean, he's physical, and he's still scoring points. So if they have success here in the next game, it'll be because of him.
Kyle, great to catch up with you, man. We appreciate you venturing down the highway to meet with us today and driving through all that beautiful rain that we had along Highway 17.
Yeah.
I had to take refuge outside the beer store while I was waiting for it to stop. So that's why we're having this old one here.
Yeah.
And again, great to catch up with you, man. We'll be talking more as usual. We've got to make room, if there is enough room around this table, for that eagle. Oh, no, Brad's here.
No, no. Tough on him.
Saginaw bus driver's best friend is in the building.
Yeah.
We'll be back in 90 seconds time. This is the Hockey North Show podcast from 45 Social in the Sioux downtown.
Little Caesars of Sioux, Ontario is once again proud to be the major sponsor of the Hockey North Show. Little Caesars has 2 locations in Sioux, Ontario, Churchill Plaza and Market Mall. Little Caesars is open 7 days a week. Dr. Kevin Caruso can help you lose weight with his naturopathic health clinic located at 264 McNabb Street in Sioux, Ontario. Book an appointment with Dr. Caruso by calling 705-542-1266. Dr. Caruso is also a supporter of the Sioux Junior Greyhounds of the Great North Under-18 Hockey League. Buying or selling a home? List with top producing real estate agent John Glavota of Royal LePage. Give John a call today at 705-975-2975. Croatian Corner is located on the corner of Bruce and Wellington Streets in the Sioux's downtown area. The Croatian Corner has daily lunch specials and features a frozen food section that includes their famous homemade cabbage rolls. Check out the Croatian Corner at the corner of Bruce and Wellington. Northern Superior Brewing is proudly brewed in the Sioux. Northern Superior Brewing features Houndtown Golden Ale and Northern Superior Lights, among other locally brewed beers. Stop by and pick up your favorite beer and drop by for a cold one at the popular tap room located next to the Bush Plane Museum. Saldan Developments has long been a supporter of youth and minor and college sports in Sault Ste. Marie. We thank Sam Biasucci and his staff for continuing to sponsor the Hockey North Show. The Sioux Eagles of the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League play all of their home games at Venerable Polar Stadium in the Michigan Sioux. For the latest on the Sioux Eagles, player stats, and upcoming home games, visit SiouxEagles.net. Players and staff of the Sioux Eagles are also regular guests on the Hockey North Show. And now, back to the Hockey North Show with Randy Russin from 45 Social, 117 Spring Street in the Sioux downtown.
And here we are again at this location, 45 Social in the Sioux downtown, for this dated April 23rd edition of the Hockey North Show podcast. And great to catch up with Kyle Cook, the head coach and general manager of the Blind River Beavers of the NOJHL. I tell that guy took journalism in school because he likes to talk, man. He must have been in the radio and TV program.
Absolutely.
He's got some good words and a lot of words to say. And again, one of my favorite people, one of my very favorite people in the hockey world, especially in the NOJHL. And Brad Cacciabillo with us now. And Brad...
Awesome. So you know how to
7-up, game 7.
I guess so.
Nothing like a game 7, man. You know what? As we record here on the Tuesday, game 7 is tonight. It's the Sioux and Saginaw. The winner gets to go on and face the big green machine in London. Thus far, a back-and-forth series. Sioux and Saginaw. Saginaw went up 1-0. Hounds tied at 1-1. 2-1 Saginaw, 2-2. 3-2 Saginaw, 3-3. No one's won two games in a row. And there's some bad blood out there. But you know what? You get that with an intense rivalry.
Absolutely.
There's bad blood when Windsor plays London and London plays Kitchener and things like that. But this series has been, thus far, going into Game 7, and I see no reason for it to change in Game 7. I mean, and if it does, so what? It's been a great series so far. As advertised has been the Sioux and Saginaw, and we could just go on and on and talk about this series.
Yeah, we could fill hours talking about the way this series between, you know, the way things have gone on the ice, the bickering between fans, the bickering between media and bus drivers, the, you know, bickering between basically everybody involved in the series. I think we had a feeling that this, you know, had the makings of potentially being the best second round series.
Yeah, I think we called that, didn't we?
Yeah, so like
one of the times we've been right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like they say, even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while, right?
So I found you and you're
yeah.
the blind squirrel and you're the nut.
Yeah. It's not the first time I've been called nuts still. But yeah, I mean, it's been a great series. It's been like really aside from the, like one game where, you know, Saginaw kind of blows the Greyhounds out a little bit.
But then the Greyhounds did blow Saginaw out in game 6, so there's been a couple, you know what?
But like even then, like those games, like they were close enough at multiple points during each game, right? So, you know, they're a little like, yeah, it's a, you know, one's a 7-2 game, one's a 5-0 game, but like, you know, realistically, they were closer for good chunks of those games as well before, you know, before the winner blows it open a little bit, right? So, you know, we've seen an overtime game, you know, Caleb Mangone, obviously, you know, dagger in his hometown and, in the hearts of his hometown, so to speak. But yeah, I mean, this series has been as advertised, and you know, you don't see it too often where, you know, teams go through 7 games and pretty much alternate wins, like you said, all the way through. These are two teams that split the regular season, everybody winning on the road. So, you know, it was only fitting that, you know, kind of that closeness carried into the playoffs.
It's a cliche, man, but there's nothing like a Game 7. Yep. It's in Saginaw tonight. It's on Rogers TV. You can catch the play-by-play on there, and it's just been exhilarating thus far, the way things have gone, and the stories away from the stories and the stories away from the rink and injuries and suspensions. And you know what? After game 1, I mean, I know there are Greyhound fans out there that call themselves true Greyhound fans. You know, they're behind the team no matter what. They know who they are, but they were quick to dump on Charlie Schenkel after the game 1 loss in Saginaw. And we were sitting at this table of ours here at 45 Social last week, and you made a really profound comment, and you said, in all the times you've been watching Charlie Schenkel, when he has a bad game, he rebounds the next game, and he sure has thus far the rest of the series. He's been a difference maker for this Sioux.
Absolutely. You know, he's been great. I mean, you know, the kid gets 2 shutouts on home ice, and you know, he was great in the overtime game as well. And you know, I will say this, and I said this to Dave Drinkel as well at one point when I was talking to him during the series, where, you know, I've been very hard on Nolan Lalonde, but like, you know, he's been
he made two big penalty shot saves. Like, there's been times in this series where he's been great too. And, you know, I just want to make that clear that I've been very hard on him this year. But there's been times in this series where he's been great as well.
You know, in the game five in Saginaw, where Mangone scored the winning goal for the Spirit in overtime. Before that, at the beginning of overtime, Lalonde made three or four big saves in a row. I mean, they were pucks that were going into the net.
Absolutely.
He came to the rescue, and Saginaw was a bit on its heels in its own rink.
For sure.
And you know what? The Hounds could have very easily ended that game right
there.
Yeah,
that was massive.
And you know what? He came through, and you know what? You give credit where credit's due. And I do scoff at some fans who, and onlookers, whatever you want to say, and we touched on this last week. Whenever the Greyhounds lose, they point fingers and they say some fans like ludicrous things, whatever.
Yeah.
The Greyhounds are losing to a backup goalie. Well, he's not a backup goalie. Lalonde and Oki split the regular season pretty close. Oki did play a bit more. They're both 19 years old, and Lalonde is a signed prospect of the Columbus Blue Jackets of the National Hockey League.
And signed as a free agent as well.
As a free agent.
Yep.
That's not a backup goal.
No. Saginaw is in a situation where, realistically, you could say they've got a 1A and a 1B in terms of their goaltending, for sure. You know, it's one of those things. I mean, would Saginaw rather Andrew Oak be starting in this series? Like, I'm sure they would, but, you know, they're you know, Chris Lazary's more than happy to have Nolan Lalonde fill
Chris
in for
Lazary's happy?
I use that term loosely.
What is Chris Lazary more than happy?
Yeah, I use it. I mean, it depends. I mean, how the ice situation is too. I guess
he's not more than happy when he's talking to the media. We know that.
I will. And since I'm giving credit to people with the Saginaw Spirit, I will give Chris Lazary credit after being very short with us after game four. He was very good with us the other night here for game six. And I'm sure Dave Drinkle probably said something to him too as well.
We'll give credit where credit's due. But this is the Hockey North Show podcast. Randy Russell along with Brad Cacciamillion. Of course, we're talking about this series between the Sioux and Saginaw, the second round of the Ontario Hockey League Western Conference playoffs. And you know what? If you're listening to this show and the game is already over, it's okay. Game 7's already over because we're talking about the series in general and a great competition between two teams and the rivalry thing, Brad, comes into play. And you know what? There are rivalries in hockey. In the NHL, Toronto, Montreal. You can go on and on.
Detroit, Colorado back in the day.
100%. And in the OHL, one of the top rivalries has always been the Windsor Spitfires and London Knights, or London and everybody.
London and everybody in the league.
I guess London and the Sioux to a certain extent too, but this us, and, you know, Saginaw and Flint are so close together, but this Greyhound Spirit rivalry has taken on new proportions.
Absolutely.
You know what? There's bad blood, of course, but that's what happens when there's two competitive teams going against one another. And you know what? I think this is a really healthy rivalry for the ages too.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's
two well-managed teams here that are going to be good for a long time, or they should be.
And that's just it, right? And I mean, it's been a while since we've been in a situation where both teams have been this good in the same year. It's been, you know, we've had other years where it was, you know, like you go back to 2018 where the Greyhounds had that long run where they lost to Hamilton in the final, and Saginaw was an 8 seed that year. But then the following year, Saginaw turned out to be really good while the Greyhounds had taken a bit of a step back. So we've seen the rivalry in the regular season, but like we've never had a chance to really see it amped up to this point in the playoffs, where both teams were legit title contenders in the same year. And you know, to have that, and you know, they split the regular season, and you know, like we said earlier, you know, split the playoff series to this point. Like this playoff series has amped that rivalry up that much more, and it's great to see. I mean, let's face it, it's, you know, it's nice to see the intensity between the two teams and the intensity between fan bases. It's a lot of fun to watch.
There are a lot of really good general managers in the Ontario Hockey League over a sustained period of time. I mean, Mark Hunter, of course, with the London Knights. That's just a factory over there. I mean, Mike McKenzie and Kitchener, all in all, has done a good job for quite a number of years. And there are GMs around, you know, like James Boyd in Ottawa is a good general manager. But you know what? You look at the two general managers general managers of these two teams, the Sioux and Saginaw. And I'm not saying one is better than the other or one is the best in the league, but you know what, Brett, for what they've done over a long period of time, the way they draft, the way they trade, how meticulous they are, like Kyle Raftis from the Sioux and Dave Drinkle of Saginaw, they take a backseat to no one.
No, for sure. They definitely set a high standard for what it is to be a general manager in the OHL. And like you said, there's a lot of good general managers around the league. I mean, you know, James Boyd, I think, you know, and just kind of going back to that real quick is, you know, I feel like he's very underrated because he's a general manager of a team in a big market. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe people pay less attention to them because, you know, because they're in Ottawa, but he does a great job. But to get back to your original point, I mean, you know, Kyle Raftis and Dave Drinkle are easily, you know, easily two of the best in the league. I mean, they, you know, they've built winning teams. When their teams have had a year where they've struggled, they bounce back. They, you know, they tend to bring in, for the most part, very good people, like in terms of, you know, when they make deals and stuff. And I mean, it's
thorough,
been
a, they're well thought out.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's very impressive to see the way these two guys operate. You know, and they're both good guys off the ice as well to deal with.
Sometimes people around hockey, whatever, whether they're the coach or the general manager, they equate someone from the opposing team's media as being on that team's side.
Yeah.
You know what? When we live in Sioux City, people assume, oh, we want the Grails to win. Maybe we do, but we're not paid by the Grails. You aren't. I am not.
Right.
Some of the others aren't. Some of them are, whatever. And that's okay.
Yeah.
But you know what? In Saginaw, where there's not really any media. I guess, but my point is, okay, for today's an example, I sent an email to Dave Drinkle, the GM of the Saginaw Spirit. Nothing about the series, whatever, just about a player from the Sioux that I thought maybe he would like to invite to his camp, whatever, right? A prospect from the Sioux, Nick Marson. I just said, the guy's looking for an OHL tryout, just trying to help out a kid from the Sioux, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're going into Game 7 tonight, and Dave Drinkle responds immediately.
I believe it,
And gives a really good, you know what, we'll look at this, Randy, leave this with me, blah, blah, blah. You know what, it's the way you get treated by someone, and the way someone treats you, like in the case of Drinkle, not only is he a good GM, but you know what, he respects the other people's jobs, you know what
I mean? Yeah, for sure.
I like that.
And I will say, after everything that happened after Game 3 here in the Sioux, and
you mean when you were fighting with
the
bus driver?
Yeah, when I was... you know, I will, and I said this to you, you know, kind of when we were just chatting about the whole situation, and, you know, I give Dave a lot of credit. I mean, he came up to me during the morning skate on Wednesday, and, you know, I must have talked to him. Again, same type of thing, you know, it's a game day, and I realize, you know, he's around the rink on the road anyway, but, you know, I probably talked to him for at least 10, if not 15 minutes, and most of the conversation after the original stuff was, you know, talking about the two teams and, you know, talking about how interesting it was in terms of the way things have played out and, you know, just general good hockey talk. And, you know, it's no secret that I get along really well with Dave, and I like Dave a lot as a person. And, you know, again, the league needs guys like him,
Dave, you know, he's always been a gentleman. We had a disagreement a couple of years back when Nick Porco was playing there, and I thought he wasn't being treated fairly by Chris Lazary. And we kind of been about set two back and forth, whatever. And I said something about, you know, why is this guy getting this ice time, whatever. And Dave took a little bit of issue with him, which is fine. But within a couple of days, we were good again. And you know what? You have disagreements with people, and then you rebound from them, and you move on. We're going to have our predictions on Game 7 tonight. But first, in case I lose this bet, we have to pay some messages, or pay the bills here tonight. I have to pay Brad, so we have to play some commercials in order for me to be able to afford my co-host tonight. This is the Hockey North Show podcast. We'll be back in 90 seconds time.
Little Caesars of Sioux, Ontario is once again proud to be the major sponsor of the Hockey North Show. Little Caesars has two locations in Sioux, Ontario, Churchill Plaza and Market Mall. Little Caesars is open 7 days a week. Dr. Kevin Caruso can help you lose weight with his naturopathic health clinic located at 264 McNabb Street in Sioux, Ontario. Book an appointment with Dr. Caruso by calling 705-542-1266. Dr. Caruso is also a supporter of the Sioux Junior Greyhounds of the Great North Under-18 Hockey League. Buying or selling a home? List with top producing real estate agent John Glavota of Royal LePage. Give John a call today at 705-975-2975. Croatian Corner is located on the corner of Bruce and Wellington Streets in the Sioux's downtown area. The Croatian Corner has daily lunch specials and features a frozen food section that includes their famous homemade cabbage rolls. Check out the Croatian Corner at the corner of Bruce and Wellington. Northern Superior Brewing is proudly brewed in the Sioux. Northern Superior Brewing features Houndtown Golden Ale and Northern Superior Lights, among other locally brewed beers. Stop by and pick up your favorite beer and drop by for a cold one at the popular tap room located next to the Bush Plane Museum. Saldan Developments has long been a supporter of youth and minor and college sports in Sault Ste. Marie. We thank Sam Biasucci and his staff for continuing to sponsor the Hockey North Show. The Sioux Eagles of the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League play all of their home games at Venerable Polar Stadium in the Michigan Sioux. For the latest on the Sioux Eagles, player stats, and upcoming home games, visit SiouxEagles.net. Players and staff of the Sioux Eagles are also regular guests on the Hockey North Show. And now, back to the Hockey North Show with Randy Russin from 45 Social, 117 Spring Street in the Sioux's downtown.
And we're back at 45 Social in the Sioux's downtown, 117 Spring Street. Randy Russin along with Brad Cacciamillo, and a lot of excitement in the Ontario Hockey League between the Sioux and Saginaw, that's for sure, Brad. Two communities, you know what, they're not that far apart from one another. It's about a 3.5-4 hour drive between the two. You do have to cross a couple of bridges, I guess, but other than that, you know, it's a pretty smooth drive. And it's game 7 tonight, and again, it's 7th Heaven, the Sioux and Saginaw. So I've been on Facebook and the Greyhound fan site and the Saginaw Street.
Those are experiences.
Oh, yeah. A story of Hockey News North yesterday, and just said, you know, I like players on both teams.
Yeah,
I like a lot of things about you know, about both teams. And someone says to me, "Oh, what a prediction, whatever." So I said, you know,
"So we got no choice now."
So, Game 7 is coming up on this as we record here tonight. Rogers TV, you can watch it. Saginaw Spirit and Sioux Greyhounds. Okay, I'm going to begin because you go with age before beauty.
Let's go with that. I like that. I like the sounds of that.
All right. So I'm going to go to win game 7 in a 2-goal game, 2-goal difference, 4-2, Saginaw Spirit.
All right. I mean, I'm not saying this because it makes for fun that we disagree.
We always do that.
But, I mean, it does, let's face it, it does make it for a little bit of fun. I'm banking on Zane Parekh not being at 100% for the Saginaw Spirit, and I'm going to take the Greyhounds. I'm the same way, though. I feel like it's going to be a very close game. No James Goh, obviously, because he's suspended. You know, he's a top-pairing defenseman with Jorian Donovan for them. He's already out. You know, Zane Parekh, again, if he's in, I don't know how healthy he's going to be because he's taken a beating in this series. I'm going to take...
A verbal beating, too, for the fans.
Yeah, no kidding.
I did not like, by the way, when he was laying on the ice that I heard the fans were booing him.
I agree with you on that. Like, there's a line, like, I have no issue when you boo a player, when he's got the puck, you know, when you jeer, whatever. Like, that's, you know, that's the fun of being a fan. I have no issue with that. But as soon as you start cheering or booing a player when he's injured, there's a line you don't cross as a fan, and that's it right there. And, you know, that bothered me 100% too. I'm with you on that without a doubt.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. So anyway, carry on with your...
Yeah, I'm you know what, and since you took a score, I'm going to say... You know what? I'm going to go 4-2 the other way. I think it's going to be relatively-ish low scoring because I think both goaltenders are going to be good again tonight for both teams.
Okay, so we're not going to say whether it's going to be 1-0, 1-1, 1-2, or 2-1, whatever. Okay, so who scores the game-winning goal? Who scores the third goal for the Sioux?
You know what? He's played so well since he come back. I'm going to go with Jack Beck getting the game winner for the Greyhounds.
Okay, I'm going to go to get a lot of props with the Barsantis and the Mangonis in the city. I'm going to go with Caleb Mangoni, man.
Hey, he's
and
already...
The, and the
he's
insurance got, goal, too. How's
he's
that?
Got an overtime winner in the series, so he's certainly... certainly a good call on that.
There are a lot of good stories in hockey, Brad, about kids who come out of the woodwork and overachieve. Yeah. And Caleb Mangoni is first year, eligible for the OHL Priority Selections Draft, doesn't get drafted. The next year, he goes second. Was it second overall?
Second overall, yeah.
To the Saginaw Spirit. A lot of people scoff about the U18 supplemental draft.
Yep.
There is a guy that went second overall to the Saginaw Spirit.
Yep.
And not only did he make the team,
yep,
and is in his third season now with Saginaw, he's an impact player.
That's the biggest thing. Absolutely, and that's the biggest thing for me is, you know, there have been, you know, some guys that have come in, they play a handful of games out of the U18 draft, and like, I get it, you know what, you're not going to look at those guys, but when, you know, when you look at the Caleb Mangonis, and, you know, I'll say this, as much as Lincoln Moore's numbers may not reflect it, he's played some good hockey in the second half of the year.
A lot of games, too.
Yeah, he's played some good hockey in the second half of the year, and he's been pretty good in the playoffs for them as well, for the most part. But yeah, Caleb Mangoni, I mean, who doesn't love a good story like that, where a kid who, you know, takes being passed over in the draft and turns it into, like, the best thing possible, and basically says to 20 general managers in the OHL, I'm going to show you,
yeah,
ends up getting drafted second overall and comes in and has an impact on a pretty good team. And,
mm-hmm,
you know, he's been a guy that he's been, you know, I noticed Chris Lazary has been kind of moving him in and out in terms of the lineup. And, you know, I think part of that, like, you know, he's been on Michael Meese's line a little bit. And I think part of that is because Michael Meese has been relatively quiet in this series. So, you know, I think part of putting Caleb Mangoni on that line is maybe trying to give Meese a spark because Mangoni's played so well. And, yeah, Caleb's such a great story. I mean, I love the idea that he's, you know, he's turned this opportunity into something great for sure.
Still with the Ontario Hockey League, and this comes to no surprise to Messrs. Rustin and Cacciamillo. The Sudbury Wolves are our favorite trash talk target. Major disappointment this year with a veteran-laden team losing in the second round of the playoffs to the North Bay Battalion, getting shut out at home in back-to-back games with a high-octane offense, Brad. And we both said how much we do like Ken McKenzie as a head coach. And he came back this year, though, after not coaching for, I think, 30 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, he stepped down as the head coach of the Sudbury Wolves. So we'll see what happens as to who the next man in charge is going to be in Sudbury. Drake Barahowski did join the team late in the season. So
and he's got some assistant coaching experience in the league as well.
But, Drake Barahowski is, Ken McKenzie has stepped down as the head coach of the Sudbury Wolves, and also on a Sudbury Maravali Dick 2 down the road, man. They're getting a new rink finally.
Yeah, it's about time. I mean, you know, it's... I understand the idea. You know, people always talk about how old buildings have character. That Sudbury Arena's got a lot of character, I will say that. But it's a, you know what, as much as we chirp Sudbury and as much as we give them a hard time, I'm glad for the fans over there to be finally getting this new facility after, you know, all the humming and hawing and we're getting one and we're not. You know, after everything they've gone through, it's about time that city gets a new arena. I'm happy for them and the organization, you know, as a whole, because... You know, Dario Zulik, I mean, I know he's, you know, he's a guy who, like, I'll give him credit in the sense that, like, he cares about that team and, you know, he wants what's best for them. And, you know what, I'm glad they're getting the new facility to house that team.
And you know what, some people are critical of Rob Papineau, the Sudbury Wolves general manager. You know what, I've had a little chirp towards him over the years, whatever.
Yeah.
Some of his decisions with coaches who he hired and whatever else too. But you know what, Brett, I do feel for Papineau and the Wolves, because I know they made it to the second round, but that was a team well put together.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we've said it multiple times. That was...
I mean, Goyette and all these guys, and to not score a goal in two games at home.
Yeah, that was that series against North Bay was a massive letdown for sure. And I mean, you know, it's one of those weird things, because it's like, you know, we talked about how Sudbury was the best average playing team we've ever seen, right? Like, they're so talented.
You always watch them when you come away. Like you said one time on the show, you expect more.
Yep, absolutely. You know, and it's, you know, credit to North Bay for doing what they did in that series, considering, we talk about guys we like around the league. Yeah. Ryan's definitely one of those guys as well.
He got the dagger from the Flint Firebirds a few years back, which and I didn't think was fair, but you know, now he's back in the organization that he played for.
So I think three straight conference championship, final appearances,
and,
too.
You know what? Just a good, good, good guy. Yep. And obviously a good coach. And you know what? But anyway, Sioux College Cougars making a couple of announcements today. A couple of commits from the Blind River Beavers. Kyle Bricks' team, goaltender Gavin DeZano, and forward Jake Kovacs, both from the Sioux, who played multiple seasons with the Beavers.
And were big players for the team,
100%.
Too.
They've committed to the Sioux College Cougars. And it's kind of neat because the Sioux College coach, our friend Tanner Burton, put in the NOHHL for the Blind River Beavers. So that's good for them. Sioux College runs a good program, and you know what, good to see two kids. DeZano, I saw on the release today, he's going to be taking sports administration. So he better not be coming after my job or yours, because as the bus driver said to you, I'll kick his ass.
Yeah, for sure.
So have you seen your bus driver buddy?
You know what? It's funny. I've seen him. I've seen him more in like a 4-day stretch than I had ever seen him before. And I mean, I'll say he, the way he looks at me, he still doesn't look too pleased with me, but it is what it is.
Okay, it is what it is. It's game 7 tonight, and we'll be back next week for another edition of the Hockey North Show. The Greyhounds do lose. We'll probably end it next week, whatever. But if they win, that means we have to carry on. And
we're at least another week or two.
I have to keep paying you. Jeez, take out a loan.
Or Mary's going to have to pick up some extra shifts here at 45 Social.
I think so. Okay, this is Randy for Brad and Mary and the crew at 45 Social and all the sponsors. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we shall talk soon.
Join us again next week for another edition of the Hockey North Show with Randy Russin, brought to you by Little Caesars of Sioux, Ontario, Dr. Kevin Caruso, real estate agent John Glavota, The Croatian Corner, Northern Superior Brewing, Saldan Developments, and the Sioux Eagles of the NOJHL.